You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, pardon me.
Oh, I thought Frank, I had the cold here.
Oh, dear. Frank Proctor, along for the ride and fun and frivolity.
Yes, I love that theme song. Like, that just gets me dancing every Saturday morning.
Now, here I am clearing my throat.
I know.
But you've had a cold all week long, apparently.
I have, and I blame my son.
Oh,
he's such a bozo.
Keenan.
Yes. Back when he was a small child, he was very controllable. But now that he's a large young man, he just walks around snorting and coughing and opening the fridge and coughing and closing the fridge. It's like, oh, my goodness. No surprise.
Yeah,
he's been doing this for like 3 weeks. I've only been doing it for a few days.
Oh, well.
And
all
I'm a lot better now than
you
I
know,
was.
No, you look fine, too. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I feel a lot better.
When they get a cold, particularly guys, I must admit, the big sucks, you know. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm never going to be better.
Well, I find, maybe not all guys, but some men are not very good at looking after themselves, so that they don't get better, which is why my son is still snorting 3 weeks later.
Yeah, are you taking anything for it? I mean...
You know what? This is the crazy thing, is I took some of those tablets, you know, those cold tablets, because I was teaching earlier in the week.
Okay.
And boy, did I regret taking those tablets, because...
Really?
Oh, like, okay, so you've got a cold, you're producing mucus. That's normal.
Okay.
You take those tablets and it solidifies the mucus in your head.
Oh,
so now you can't blow your nose.
Yeah.
And you get these sinus headaches like crazy.
Oh, that's no good.
It's not good. Like, I was just like wrong direction to go. So I stopped taking those real quick. I took them for like one day when I was teaching there, and I thought I'd feel better, but I didn't. And now it's all about the saline solutions. Just keep those liquids going forget the pills.
You got it. Okay.
All right. So there's my tip.
Yeah,
got
well,
nothing to do with the
this
garden
is the health show.
Yeah,
the garden. We even get the numbers on the air. I mean, one morning this week we got up and looked out the window.
And
I showed you a picture.
Picture.
It was Tuesday morning. Snow on the deck. You know, enough to know that it was snow.
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
no fooling about
Didn't,
that.
Didn't like melt immediately when it hit the ground.
No. And tonight, the forecast for tomorrow includes that.
More flurries.
Yeah, flurries, yeah.
Kind of temperatures.
Yeah, so.
Oh my, get your boots out, earmuffs, your gloves, long underwear.
Here are the numbers. If you want to get a hold of Charlie, and we hope you do, I'm always interested to know what comes up on a. You think, you look outside, and who's going to call in on a garden show? But it's amazing.
There's lots going on.
Yeah,
indoors, outdoors.
In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Please remember our little mantra, call early, call often, one question per call. And if you're a first-time caller, let Sebastian know, our operator, and he will give me a wink and say, hey, get the mail out.
Yeah.
That's your first
wings.
Time caller. There you are.
Garden wings. Very special.
Right.
Just a quick announcement. Coming up on November the 2nd at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, there's a full-day event, super interesting symposium, all about urban ravines. So it's all about exploring, restoring, and celebrating our ravines. I mean, it's because we kind of take our ravines, we have a lot of ravines in Toronto, and we take them for granted. Mm-hmm. People just take their dogs out, and they throw garbage and debris over the edge, and, you know, they don't think twice about it. Well, what's happening, of course, is the ravines are slowly but surely getting sort of... broken down as a result of a lack of care, not to mention being overtaken by invasive tree and shrub species. So the symposium is all about, recognition on what the value of the ravines and the kind of maintenance we can do to maintain them as they were as much as we can with native plant species, which will support the pollinators and all the important ecosystems.
Right. I was... this past week was the 100th, I can't remember what day it was, Thursday, I think, 100th birthday of the Bloor Viaduct.
Oh.
One, you know.
Really?
And so before that time, people had to walk down
take
and then, you know, cross the river somehow, and then up the other side, or go all the way down to Dundas Street where there was a bridge to go across.
That was
imagine, boy, oh boy!
But that's a long bridge,
and
that
that's a heck of a ravine. Speaking of ravines,
exactly, and again, Don River runs through it. Most of the ravines have some tributary of some river running through them, which is how they got there in the first place.
You got it.
So it's a, like I said, I've got four of my students, my second year horticulture technician students from Durham College, will be attending this ravine symposium.
Oh, good.
Being sponsored by Paul Zammit, the horticultural director of TBG, because, you know, he's just that passionate about sharing the word and also obviously supporting the students to learn and expand
and
grow.
Should bring one of your students by to kind of give us a background.
One of them would love to.
Well, there you
go. She has begged me if she could job shadow me. Just, you know, shadow me every day, 7 days a week.
So that sounds like a deal.
That's a thought, actually. It's a really good idea. I bet you she would be happy to come next.
Very good. Well, look, we have to take our first break here. We've chatted our way to break time. And then come back and talk to the listeners. And by golly, we've got a full bank of callers. Unbelievable.
Okay. Why do you say that?
No, we'll be back in just a moment here. The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's get out of here. Vera. Verna from Empire Corners is on the line. Verna, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, both of you, and what a beautiful morning we've got.
Beautiful.
Charlie, I had started a rhubarb plant from seeds, and I've got it in a pot. Should I put it in the ground for the winter, or is it all right left in the pot?
You can do either. You can leave it in the pot or put it in the ground, but either way, it has to go in the ground.
The pot is in the ground, but I didn't know whether to take it out and put it
in the
ground, because I'm not sure where I want to put it in the spring.
Exactly. That's why we leave things in the pots, because we're not sure or we don't have the garden bed ready yet.
Right.
But the important thing is what you've got happening there is the root. The crown of the plant needs to be down under the ground at ground level. Just it'll survive the winter perfectly, no problem.
Okay, so I have to dig deeper because it's still like it's half in the ground.
No, take it right down so the soil level in the pot is even with the actual soil level outside the pot.
Okay.
And then in the spring, just pop it out of the ground, wash the pot off, and figure out where you want to put it.
Excellent.
Okay.
All right, thanks very much, Ben.
All righty. Kind of a little inside story. When we glanced up at the monitor, and Sebastian had put in the name Verna and Empire Corners. You said, Empire Corners. God, that sounds like a CBC show, doesn't
TV
it? You know,
show.
And here's Verna to talk about barbecue.
Empire Corners. I love it.
Anyway, we're off and running to, right here in town, just around the corner maybe. Don is on the line. Hi, Don. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good.
Good morning.
I'm around the corner, but don't say that's no word yet.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
I just have one question. I didn't get to cut my grass, and it's about 4 to 5 inches tall. Is it too late to cut it?
No, you better get out there and cut it. We can keep cutting our grass. Actually, I usually do my last cut in November sometime. But the last final cut of the year is a little bit shorter than our regular summer height.
2 inches is normal, isn't
it? No, we're 3 inches now.
Three inches
normal, so 2.5, 3 inches throughout the summer and the fall. And then by late November, and you're even warmer than me here in Toronto, I go down to about 2 inches just before winter hits. And that way, you don't want the grass too long. Otherwise, you'll have all kinds of death and destruction in the spring.
Okay. And my two little Christmas trees, do I cover them or just leave them the way they are?
Are they in the ground?
They're in the ground. They're about 5 feet tall.
Are they getting salt spray by any chance? Or
no.
No, they're probably fall. Like when you see Christmas trees, are they little Alberta spruces? Or
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, no, they're fine. Tough, hardy. Leave them alone. Put some lights on them.
Okay, then thanks. You have a good weekend.
Thank you.
All righty. Right. Good for you sneaking that second question.
He did.
Boy.
Yeah, good. He started by saying, I only have one question.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well, that's good.
That's
what you're allowed. And then
bingo. Yeah, right under the door. Hey, you see what I'm reaching for here, Charlie, huh?
I do.
Yeah. Those who watch the show, because we're televised.
Yes, we are.
I'm holding up right in front of the camera. There we are.
There it is, your Salvation Army bell.
That is for Betty, first-time caller from North York.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, Betty.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question about geraniums.
Mm-hmm.
Every fall, I bring in some large pots of geraniums and put them in a sunny place for the winter.
Uh-huh.
Most of them survive.
Okay.
Should I cut them back before I bring them in?
I find that they get pretty, no matter how bright the window is that I put my geraniums in from coming from outside to the inside, they still get a little thin and sparse and scraggly inside,
yes,
just because the light levels are that much lower through the glass.
Mm. Yes.
So I find that if I do cut them back, particularly taking off the flowers, just do a cleanup, take off anything yellow or brown, flowers remove, cut back the tips, and that will help them with that transition of coming in. You will still get a little bit more yellow leaves. Be careful you don't overwater. They're not going to use much water in the winter,
mm-hmm,
but give them as much light as you possibly can and turn the pots every couple of days, 180 degrees. And no fertilizer till March. And by March, then you're going to be getting all kinds of new growth anyway. And by that time...
Should I cut them back then in March?
Sometimes they really need a cutting back in March because, again, they've gotten so scraggly over the winter. But the cuttings you take in March are nice little cuttings to root and get more plants.
Perfect.
So, you know, that we consider that one we're bringing in the fall, the mother plant, and you can create tons of daughter plants off the mother in late winter, early spring, which is what the growers do. That's where all the geraniums come from, that see the thousands and tens of thousands. They're all cuttings off of mother plants in the late winter.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Don't be a stranger.
Yes, exactly. Coffee's always on.
First time caller. There you go. We're going to be along. We're right up to our next break here. My gosh, look at that. Doreen in Belgrave is waiting on the line and will be to her call in just moments here on the Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, it's been a very busy morning thus far, and I just want to interject and say we've got a line open now, and you can reach Charlie Dobbin in Toronto, 416-360-0740, or anywhere in the province, toll-free, our long-distance line, which you get here free, of course, 1-866-740-4740, and we're off and running to say hi to Doreen in Belgrave, Ontario. Hey, good morning, Doreen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a success story.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Last spring, I phoned for help for how can we have worm-free carrots.
Oh, yeah.
A caller told me to sprinkle them with wood ashes.
Right, I remember that.
The result, they were shown at the fall fair in a large class of carrots with first prize.
Whoa, hey, all right.
Good for you.
Good stuff, Doreen.
After years of wormy carrots.
Yeah. So you sprinkled wood ashes in the row as you were planting the seed?
No, after I planted them.
After the seeds had sprouted.
And I did. It was only sparingly.
Mm.
I didn't put a whole lot. But I think I did it twice, if I remember right.
Huh.
Before they came up and after they came up.
Huh.
Well,
did it work?
Wow, isn't that marvelous?
Well, I'm going to just write this down. That's going in my book for sure.
How about that?
And a winner to that Epsom salt and milk powder.
Oh, interesting. For
funny
the tomatoes,
you mentioned that because
that's Werner's recipe.
Yes, Werner.
We had over 50 tomato plants loaded with tomatoes.
Hey.
And they were excellent.
And did you do a little water bottle at each tomato plant?
I tried that, but I'd already had them planted, and I had already put my collar around them, and it wasn't working for me, so I still used it inside the collar.
Oh,
okay.
Interesting.
So it doesn't matter as long as you do it.
Yeah. So Epsom salt, water, and skim milk powder.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, my goodness. I'm writing that one down, too. So, boy, there's some great successes.
Hey, Doreen, we've got to hire you to call in every week.
Yeah, award-winning carrots.
Exactly.
Bountiful tomatoes. Woo! The Garden Show is sending out some good advice, it sounds like.
That's excellent.
And actually, you know what? It's the callers that are sharing all these good tips.
Yeah.
So thanks for that, Doreen, and thanks for the people that shared the great tips.
Thank you very, very much.
All right, darling. Right. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
So do we, actually.
Yeah, we kind of have fun at it, too.
We learn all the time.
Doug is on the line from Lindsay, Ontario. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I have a hedge maple on my front lawn.
Uh-huh.
And the branches are so low that my grass cutter's hanging his head on, threatening to sue me.
Yeah, I get it.
So is it any problem if I cut some of them off at this time of the year?
It's actually a pretty good time. You're in Lindsay, so you're a little cooler. Yeah. Maples, it's very effective to trim maples in late fall, so you can even wait a couple of weeks till the plant has dropped all its leaves and do whatever you want. It's far better to trim maples at this time of year than in the spring. So, yeah, go to town. Just make sure the plant is dormant before you do any serious pruning and trimming.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you know what?
Speaking of Werner and Tilsonburg.
Yes, he's on the line with us right now.
Oh, he just knew.
Hey, good morning, Werner.
Good morning.
Good morning. Did you hear that caller? Did you hear Doreen?
Yes, I did.
Well, how do you feel?
Hey, beautiful. I'm glad to switch to the right people.
Yes, me too. And that's these are great tips.
I have an idea, a little theory, Werner, that you have an Epsom salt factory somewhere.
Yes, sure. Hey, I like the way Charlie talks with her hands.
Oh, you're watching her, right? Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's true, I do. I can't sit still.
Yeah. My question is,
yes,
I cut the lawn short. I know what I do all the time. But I had so much grass, I spread it over the vegetable garden. It's about 6 inches high.
Oh, it's fine, yeah.
Do I dig that under or just let it go until next spring?
You know what? You don't have to. It's a lot of work to dig it under. If you just leave it, the worms and everybody else will mix it up for you. You don't need to do it. I'm a big fan of being a lazy gardener. Lie in the hammock. Watch the little. Watch the worms make the mix.
Okay. That'll be good, eh?
Yeah. And they'll just dry down. The main thing is you don't want them to blow away all those grass clippings. You kind of want. If you need to incorporate them because it's super windy where you've laid them out, then I would understand digging them down a bit. But otherwise, I would just let them be because they will slowly decompose and add great organic material to your soil.
Beautiful.
Okay, good.
Beautiful.
Good to hear from you, Werner.
Yeah, and no, he brings.
Same. I enjoy talking to you guys. Okay. I listen to you all the time.
Well, bless your heart.
Thank you.
You've got very good taste.
Yes,
thank you.
All right.
Werner brings up a really good point, which is we have lots of opportunity to incorporate organic material into any of our garden beds now, whether it's grass clippings like Werner was dealing with, or leaves that are dropping as we speak. They're all free.
Yeah.
And we have watered, we have fertilized, we have cranked all kinds of good stuff into this leaves and grass clippings. Do not put it in a bag and put it at the end of the driveway. Keep this stuff on your property. There's all kinds of nutrients there. There's oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, all kinds of
throwing away
wonderful,
good health.
Wonderful, important nutrients. So use it if you can. You know, do with the leaves, obviously, I use my lawnmower. I break them all up with the lawnmower and spread them on all my gardens, and my garden soil is very happy for all those great leaves. Good over stuff. The years, I mean, it's a process, right?
Yeah,
it takes a while.
Oh, speaking of process, here I go again to the bell. Hey, that's for Karen, first-time caller, Dundas, Ontario. Good morning, Karen.
Hello.
Good morning.
Well, I love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, the question I've got is I discovered this, I guess, summer. I got liverwort in one of my gardens. And I'm wondering how to get rid of it.
Liverwort. I'm trying to think of what liverwort looks like.
I thought it was some kind of a fungus or something, but it's actually a plant. But it puts out spores.
I think I know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's in your garden. Yeah, I know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So why is it bothering you? Why do you want to get rid of it?
I'm just wondering where it would kill my other plants, or that's what I was, because it's the first time I've got it is this year. I don't know whether it's benign or destructive or not.
Not at all. No, it's not destructive at all. You know what? You're right. It is. It's kind of like, I quickly have Googled it here. So this is a division of non-vascular land plants, commonly referred to as hepatics or liverworts. So non-vascular means there's no xylem and phloem. Okay. So they sit right on the surface of the soil. They almost look like miniature, tiny, tiny, tiny little ferns, like flat-leaved ferns, and they're just flat to the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
They act like a ground cover. Where do they grow? They grow in the shade. Like, they grow in the situation where mosses grow.
Mm-hmm.
So what do mosses love? They love moist areas.
Mm-hmm.
They love shady areas. And they actually also like low pH areas. So if the liverworts are bugging you, you can go in there and, you know, lift them. They're super shallow. Just, you know, lift with a shovel or trowel, you know, compost.
Mm.
Or that, as well as change up the circumstances that are making it a good spot for them to grow. So do what you can to help with some drainage, add some sand, modify the grade so that it's not a moist location. You might not be able to do anything about the shade, but if it's shade caused by a tree, consider opening and thinning the canopies of the trees above. Get a little more light in there. And bottom line, next spring, horticultural lime, very judiciously sprinkled on the surface of the soil after you remove the liverworts, will change up the pH a bit and make it so that nothing in the way of moss or liverwort wants to grow there. But they're not parasitic. They're not doing anything bad to other plants. They're acting like
a ground cover. It's the name that kind of throws you up. Liverwort. Doesn't that sound... Ew,
like something you don't
nasty.
Want.
Yeah, yeah. Get rid of that damn liverwort. Boy, oh boy.
That's pretty funny, actually. I like the way you say that.
Okay. Karen, thank you for calling.
It's a small, flowerless green plant with leaf-like stems or lobed leaves occurring in moist habitats. Liverworts lack true roots and reproduce by means of spores released from capsules.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But you don't learn on this show.
And it's funny that she saw them this year for the first time, Karen, because it was a fairly dry year. Usually it's like years like last year that we see the liverworts
so
thriving
rain.
When
it
was so wet. Yeah. Exactly.
Boy, we've had a surfeit of first-time callers. Here we go again.
Uh-huh.
This one, we're going out to a town, one of the prettiest towns in my estimation in Ontario, as well as one of the scenic spots where you see the fabulous sunsets across Lake Huron. That would be Goderich. Mm-hmm. And there's Scott. First-time caller. Hi, Scott. Good morning.
Oh, how are you?
Good.
Great. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm really enjoying your show.
Thank you.
Listen, we have a Japanese maple tree that I estimate to be about 18 years old, and it's quite close to the house.
How close?
The problem is it's a bungalow. It's a one-level home, and the tree's beginning to overwhelm the house.
That's the problem.
It's about 6 feet away from the house, and I suspect it's probably about 15 feet high now. And at its widest girth, it's about 10 feet wide. It's a beautiful tree. It's very healthy.
But it's
out of proportion. I'm trying to figure out how best to go about trimming it back to make it look in proportion to the house.
Very good point, and you're absolutely correct. That's what should be done, because if it's a well-grown plant and it's a beautiful plant in so many seasons, you wouldn't want to risk losing the plant. But proper trimming is hard to describe on the radio.
Yeah.
What I would suggest you do is you hire an arborist to do this. It might cost you a couple hundred dollars, but it's well worth the money spent.
Right.
If you wanted to try and do something like this yourself, do Google it. Recognize that Japanese maples, and I'm assuming the one you've got is probably one that's called Bloodgood or Emperor One. So it's a purple-leaved, red-leaved in the fall.
Absolutely.
And
you're right on.
Vase-shaped or the letter V, so it's narrow at the bottom. And they do get big. Much bigger than we expect. We always think they're going to stay really small. So you have to stand back, go, you know, cross the street, look at this plant. The natural form, like I'm saying, is in the shape of a V. So the trimming that's going to happen is going to be to bring it down and to bring it in, not to give it a haircut, but to actually go through removing specific branches that are causing it to be too big all around, too wide and too tall. It might even include, you know, coming right down only a few feet off the ground, removing some fairly large stems, just depending on, you know, how it's been grown.
Right.
Often they do get very dense in the center, very overgrown. You're reminding me of one of my neighbors. He's got the exact same thing, though his house is a two-story house. And
right.
Same thing, Japanese maple planted 40 years ago, totally out of proportion with the house. And I saw him on the street one day, and this is like, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. And I said, your Japanese maple is completely out of proportion with your house. You yeah. need to get it trimmed. And he said, I know, would you do it? And I said, well, I would, but you're not going to be able to afford me. Meanwhile, there were two young men on our street who were studying arboriculture at the local college.
Oh, neat.
And I said, why don't you contact either of these young men, get them, because that's exactly what they're learning, and they will be much more affordable than me. And he did end up hiring one of them. So, and the person who, the young man did a great job, but of course now he's due to have it done again. So that's what I would suggest, is look for a certified arborist or you know,
Landscape Ontario is where...
Yeah, true. Through Landscape Ontario website, you will find for sure, or chat it up amongst your neighbors, see if anybody knows anybody. Just don't hire like Joe with the chainsaw. Avoid that. Hire somebody who really knows what they're doing, because Japanese maples, well pruned, are an amazing piece of sculpture on your lawn.
Yes, I just want to be sure that I don't damage it. I wasn't sure how dramatic you can go with the trimming, how far down you can go. Can you really hurt it? Should we wait until all the leaves have gone?
It's easier.
Like right now, flourishing beautifully, right?
Yeah. Well, it's always easier to do your trimming when there's no leaves, because then you can actually see the skeleton of the plant. And yes, I mean, you can over prune. The most you would ever take out, even now in October, November, would be up to, you know, between a half and a third of the plant can be removed, but no more than that.
Okay.
But, you know, you got to have sharp tools. You got to be making clean cuts. You got to avoid bark damage as much as possible. You got to make sure your angles are such that these wounds will heal, so that the pruning is done in such a way that the plant is healthy, it will heal next spring. So, you know, it's one of those things that's got to be done properly, and you won't regret it at all.
All right, but wait for a little longer in the season now until the vegetation, the leaves are gone.
Exactly.
All right, thanks so much for your time.
And thank you for calling.
Hey, that's great, Scott. Take care of that beautiful town there, Goderich, Ontario.
Goderich, man, the land of trees. They have planted so many trees there. It's great.
Just looking at the clock here, and I think because smoke's almost coming out of your ears. You've been working so hard this morning. Let's give Charlie a little bit of a break here.
So I can blow my nose.
Yeah, and then we'll come back. And another first-time caller on the line we'll be talking to in just moments here on The Garden Show from Zuma Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, here we go. Frank reaches for the bell and...
Oh, you're getting some exercise.
That is for first-time caller Brad in Hamilton. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning. How are you today?
Great, thanks.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I really enjoy your show. I've got a slight question, or a small question, about hostas.
Mm-hmm.
In past years, I've always let them just die off, and I've dealt with the mess in the spring. Mm-hmm. This year, I was thinking of cutting them back. Is there any issues with trying to cut them back in the fall?
You can definitely cut them back in the fall. I remember the first time I didn't have time in the fall and I didn't get around to cutting them back. And of course, as you know, they just collapse in the frost and lie there like a bunch of wet toilet paper all winter.
Yeah.
But then in the spring, they were gone. I thought, oh, that was pretty cool. I never cut them back and I never had to deal with them at all. And you're right. There's a little bit of cleaning up of debris in the spring, but not much.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of allowing all that nutrient to go back into the soil. You can, of course, cut them back and compost. That way you're still keeping the nutrient on the property and it tidies things up. But, you know, up to you. Many people love to clean up in the fall and make it look nice and sort of pristine before winter hits. So you've got that option as well. No worries.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brad.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, nice to have you join us. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. Out to the east there, Scarborough. There's Wanda. Good morning, Wanda. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
I dug out a 2-year lantana plant that I want to give to a friend because I don't have room for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I may have given it too much water. It's dropping its leaves, and they're kind of brownish on the outside.
Is it inside the house now?
It's inside the house now, and there are a lot of blooms coming.
Okay. So when you dug it out, did you give it any potting soil, or is it in straight garden soil in the pot?
I did give it some potting soil, and that was why I gave it what I thought was enough water.
Okay. So main thing now is as much sun or the sunniest location, brightest spot you've got in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid any of the hot drafts that we're getting off of our furnaces now that we've got those cranking up. So ensure there's no hot drafts, cold drafts, as much light as you can, and no water. Don't water it at all. Let it dry right down, even if it's a month from now before you water it. Yeah, no, lantana's a pretty drought-tolerant plant, and like you said, the flowers are gorgeous, so enjoy those, and they'll just keep coming. You can kill it with too much water. You're unlikely to kill it with too little water. So
you think the buds will bloom then?
They might. It's just a question of how it's doing in terms of the light levels and the moisture. Like you said, if it's just too soggy, you may lose some leaves and some buds along the way, but you want to keep the plant alive, and that will happen if you're careful to not allow it to be overwatered.
Oh, excellent. Okay. And I was going to say, it must be a tomato year. I had one that planted itself, and it's 7 feet high.
Oh, my goodness.
5 feet wide.
That was a...
I can't believe it.
Tomato on steroids. Did you get some good tomatoes off of it?
Oh, I'm still getting them.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that great?
There's a lot. Yes,
that's
thank you.
Great. Yeah, yeah. So, and from seed, which is always interesting because you don't even know what kind of tomato it was. But
wow.
Yummy. Good idea.
Thanks, Wanda, for joining us here on a good-looking Saturday morning.
It was
there,
so bright when
blue
I...
Blue skies.
Well, yeah, exactly. When I headed out, it was like blinding sun. So they are saying it's going to cloud over later, but it's nice and crispy now. Get out there and get those leaves moved out of the way before the rain comes.
Exactly. speaking of neat little towns, up in Cottage Country, wonderful little town called Bob Cajun.
Yes, indeed.
And
there's
Elaine where I presume she lives in the town or near it anyway. Hi, Elaine.
Hear it. Good morning. What a wonderful addition your program is to our weekly listening.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I just learned so much. And before I ask my coleus question, I have a hint. I bring in my pepper plants every year. They're into their third year, and through the winter we get peppers as well.
So wow.
That is, I didn't know that. I guess they're a tropical plant. They do not have to die.
No, that's true. Yeah,
anyway,
they are
okay.
Not a traditional annual. But when you bring them in pots and you just put them in a window, or have you got lights?
Yeah, we've got a sunroom, so we just wheel them in because they're getting pretty big
so
now.
Oh, and they're in pots all the time.
Yeah.
Wow,
so
interesting.
So that worked out really well, and there's three kinds of peppers. Not hot, though.
Yeah.
I have no courage.
Anyway.
I started a coleus slip because the coleus was beautiful and I didn't want to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is in a glass on the window with roots coming out the bottom.
Okay.
I can't remember what my mother used to do. She used to start coleus slips that way, but I don't know how many roots. It's got quite a few roots now.
Oh,
do I just put it directly in soil, or
make sure it's potting soil, none of that garden soil. So you've got a nice, clean pot, preferably not too large. A 4-inch is a nice one to start with, unless it's a very large cutting, then you'd go to a 6-inch pot.
No, it's small.
So 4-inch pot, fresh potting soil, moisten the potting soil into your nice, clean pot, little cutting in there, roots all sort of nicely placed in, firm that soil, water once, sunny windowsill, and you're good to go. Remember, though, that coleus will turn into a coleus tree, so don't forget to pinch the tips and, make it into a nice, bushy, good-looking plant. And by February next year, late February, early March, you're going to be taking another 25 cuttings off of that plant, and then you're really going to have a lot of a beautiful plant.
Oh, they're beautiful. It's just a beautiful red plant.
Nice, yeah. Some of the coleus are gorgeous.
Okay. Oh, how deep do I put the cutting in?
Well, you'll see where the roots are coming from the cutting, and you're going to just bury those roots.
Okay.
And remember that it's easy for the coleus stem to rot if it's kept too moist for too long.
Okay.
So just water once, and then remember to dry down in between. Water thoroughly, but not often.
Well, thanks so much.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. And, looking at the calendar here, we're only a few days away now from Election Day, of course, on Monday.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
And I want to make sure that everybody knows keep it tuned right here to AM 740 in the evening. Libby Znaimer and the crew will be
Doing live.
Yes, you betcha. Bob Popsicle will be on the scene.
Toronto, I guess,
I presume, but they'll take a full coverage approach.
Because there's elections going on
all across
the province, right?
Oh, and if you want to hear a funny, kind of stupid, what did Proctor do now story, later on my show this afternoon, I'll talk about making a kind of a dumb move.
No, not you.
Not I.
No.
No, I'll fess up and it'll be entertaining, but also kind of educational.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, we have to take a break right now. And so let me quickly give those phone numbers now again. In Toronto, 416-360-0740. And anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And Ron and Scarborough, you next on the line. We'll be to you in moments.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And as promised, just before the break, let's go out to Scarborough one more time this morning. There's Ron. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Charlie, I know you do garlic.
Yep.
And I'd just like to ask a question pertaining to that.
Yes.
Yeah. Last year, I understand, like, you had a bad year for garlic, which I thought with all the sun and everything would be a good year. I had a bad year also. Mm. But, like, I grow it in a 4x8 bed and about 5 to 6 inches apart.
Mm.
And I was wondering, like last year, why that, or have you, you were in the same boat, I understand.
Yeah.
Like, it was not a good year.
I'm honestly not sure. My garlic all survived. Mm. It was just small. I mean, it's very tasty, but it was just small, smaller than I thought. And you can't leave it longer thinking it's going to get bigger because all it does is get overly mature and start to fall apart underground. So I harvested it all. Just they're smaller bulbs than I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah.
And it might be a nutrition thing because I've planted my garlic pretty consistently in the same spot. Now, I did add a bunch of compost last fall, so maybe some plants love nutrients. Some plants say, no, I don't want all that nutrient. The garlic tends to thrive in fairly trying conditions. So it might just have been a case of too much compost around it. So it'll be better, next year because I haven't added any compost this year. But it's such an easy plant to plant, and it's such a pleasure to see it so early in the spring. I just love planting it.
With this colder weather, I was just wondering what your calendar would be for planting this year. Of course, I know areas are different, but mine's kind of protected. But I was thinking it's usually about the first week of November.
Yeah, any time up to the first week of November, because remember, you do want to get the garlic in early enough that some roots will start to grow before total freeze up. So I would use kind of November 1st as my deadline, because we always like to think of there being a number of weeks, 2, 3, 4 weeks between planting and cold. Slowly the soil is cooling off, and it's that warm soil that really stimulates that root growth when we do plant the garlic. So if I were you, I would be prepared to plant your garlic anytime in the next few weeks, go low, don't fertilize, whatever you do. That's been my experience.
Okay.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Ron. And we have time for one final caller here, I do believe. We'll see what happens here. Siva in Toronto. Good morning. Welcome again to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
One quick question. Tomatillas, the Mexican green tomatoes at the outside house, are they high in pectin?
Off the top of my head,
okay.
I don't think so. I always think of apples as being high in pectin, but
I know, but what happened is I had lots and they didn't mature well, so I thought if they were high in pectin, I could make my own.
Your own tomatillo jam?
My own pectin, so I can use it for other jams. You can make pectin from apples?
True. Yeah. Yes, you can.
All right.
You know what? That'd be one of those things I'd have to double check by Googling.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I don't have a computer, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I can certainly report back next week.
I will listen.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Forced tuning.
Yeah. Pectin is a naturally occurring gluey substance that some plants make in higher quantities than others. And pectin is the stuff that is also made synthetic. You can buy in a little package. When you're making your jams, you add pectin to make your jams gluey. So they're not just like juice. They stick together.
Okay.
So that's what Siva's obviously wants to do. She wants to make her own pectin, which is a cool idea.
Right. Well, maybe I called it a bit early.
That's okay.
But that's all right. Because we've got your show coming up. My show. You're just about to deck out. I'm looking ahead at 1 o'clock through to 3:30. I've already had a look at the music list, and it is fabulous. Our new music director, Katie, doing a fabulous job of selecting just the greatest of greats. You know?
Oh, good.
Oh,
so boys. Dance and music or what?
Zoomer
sing-along
hits,
music?
All sorts, and some romantic stuff. You know?
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. And
curl
also,
up by the fire kind of music.
I'm really excited to be the last couple of weeks, the first time that ever I have been included, where my weekend show has been included in one of the big contests.
Well, that happened last Saturday, too, right? The
that's
fly
right.
to Bermuda thing?
Jamaica. Actually, yep. Mm. Ryu Resorts.
Oh, nice.
You have a choice of one of two spots down there in Jamaica, flying on Sunwing, and of course, sponsored by Zoomer Radio. But what you do this afternoon, if you hear that, and you will at some point between 1 and 3:30, that jet is going to fly. When you hear that sound, you call in and try to be one of three qualifiers for the draw, which comes up on Monday morning.
Wow.
Sam and Neil and Man. Can you imagine? Right now, after looking out the door the other day and seeing snow, I'm thinking, I wish I could enter the contest.
I was going to say, but staff can't, right?
No, not at all. How about you? What's going on?
Well, if you can't afford to fly away and get some hot air, warmth, and ocean, or you're not lucky enough to win, you can dream by the fireside with a brand new book, hot off the press, called Garden Lust.
Oh.
It is a botanical tour of the world's best gardens by Christopher Woods, and it is beautiful. So this guy, Christopher Woods, like, good on him. He traveled all over the world, private gardens, public gardens, photography, like phenomenal photography taken at like optimal times of year. So he must have gone back and forth at some of these gardens multi times. It's just beautiful. He is, it's just lovely. It's photographs of gardens that are from like just everywhere. So we see trees in Switzerland. We see Marrakesh. We see Arizona. We see New Zealand. We're all over Africa, Arabian Peninsula, and even Asia. So you learn about who built these gardens, what are the plants they're working with, and stories about all these iconic gardens just makes you want to go there.
Garden Lust?
Yep, Garden Lust.
What a great name.
I know.
It kind of draws you right in, huh?
Pretty cool. It's inspiring and insightful. It will delight your passion for garden inspiration and the many places it grows.
I hear behind me the chatter going on.
You do.
Because Dave's Corner Garage is about to begin after the news. And I got to tell you, so funny. Shirley is not a big car gal, but
yes,
she listens to this show. And then she hung around to listen to Dave's Corner. When I got home last week, she said, those guys are hilarious.
I know. My mom,
she said, I'm going to listen
thing.
All the time.
I know.
They just break her up.
I know. My mom, same thing. She's going, they're great. They're amazing. They know everything.
Yeah.
I was like, Mom, you don't even have a car. She goes, I don't care. I find them totally, totally scintillating. So, I was like,
okay. There you go. We get thumbs up from both Frank and Charlie.
Yeah.
Dave's Corner Garage.
Enjoy the car show after the garden show. So thank you, everybody. Thanks for great tips, calls from all over the province. Wonderful, new first-time callers and old friends calling in. So appreciate all your feedback. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Sebastian. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.